Imani wouldn't be here if it wasn't for St. Jude. Everything was perfect until that day when she was 5 weeks old.
That's when, you know, every parent's worst nightmare kind of came into fruition. So there was a fairly large and aggressive brain tumor, but St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us the ultimate gift in this world, which was hope restored. When, you know, me and my wife were here, there was not a single other care in the world except for Imani. St. Jude made that happen.
And she's tumor-free now. She's growing. She's just a happy child.
The second we arrived here, we had food, housing, transportation, treatment, you name it. It was taken care of by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So the people who donate to St. Jude, you know, I just want them to know that I don't think anyone in this world or anything in this world has given me a greater gift. We came as two desperate parents, and they saved our daughter's life.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Everyone is talking about healthcare these days. America spends twice that of other developed countries on our healthcare system, yet our health ranks near the bottom. How can we stop spending so much and getting so little? By shifting to a system that gives more patients access to strong primary care. Primary care can help make America healthy again. To learn more about the benefits of primary care, visit www.healthisprimary.org. This message is brought to you by America's Family Physicians.
If you even think you may be in danger of foreclosure, call the National Foundation for Credit Counseling today at 866-687-6322 or visit mortgagehelpnow.org. Again, that's 866-687-6322 or visit mortgagehelpnow.org. This has been a public service from the NFCC.
Caruso hits Wallace. Gilgeous Alexander now against Kennard. His jump shot is good!
This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
So, Mike Vrabel's in Tennessee, or at least he was 5 years ago. We now have video evidence of that. Thank you, TMZ. Omar Khan doesn't know where Aaron Rodgers is. What else? Oh, the NBA playoffs. There's actual games being played, baby. And we got to talk about game threes tonight. Must win for both the Sixers and the T-Wolves. We'll get into that. And we'll talk about what happened in game twos in Detroit and Oklahoma City last night as well with our Odyssey NBA insider, Nick Friedell, who joins us here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. Nick, good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. It's good to be with you. And some of these series, they look like, after all the fun we had in the first round, the second round has not lived up to nearly as much hype.
Yeah, I think the formula's changed a little bit, but we can get into that. Nick Friedell, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hyundai and the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. I want to start with this, though, because J.J. Redick wanted to come out and support his players last night. He didn't like the officiating. Austin Reeves, LeBron James, several guys were very vocal throughout the games with the officials, or throughout the game with the officials, pardon me, and then post-game as well. Is this a case of the Floplahoma City Thunder, or does that have nothing to do with why the Lakers are down 2-0 or lost last night? And can both things be true?
Chris, J.J. Redick just trying to stand up for his players who are really frustrated against a better team. That was my read on the whole thing. The Thunder, Flop, Shea's rep in that regard is well documented. He's not the only one. Having said that, this is a coach in the playoffs who's trying to plant seeds of doubt for Game 3 and beyond. And more importantly, he's trying to walk back in that locker room and go, look, guys, I'm trying everything I can to. We just have to hang in there as much as we can. But I read that and I saw the video. I was like, oh, come on. LeBron gets the worst whistle of any player all time. Come on now. This is a guy that is looking for an answer that's just not there. The Lakers aren't good enough. And when I saw that, I just rolled my eyes and went, oh, man, here we go. We're at this point of this series with the two teams that have such a huge talent gap between them.
Yeah, I don't see a way the Lakers get back into that one short of something catastrophic for the Thunder at this rate. And certainly nobody's hoping for that. As for the other series that went 2-0 last night, Pistons now up 2-0 on the Cavs. I said this earlier. It feels like the formula in the first round of the playoffs was big men and defense. And it feels like the formula in the second round has been more score off turnovers or don't allow the opponent to do so and hit your threes. Because when you look, every single game through the first two games of the second round, other than the Pistons beating the Cavs last night, the team that turned the ball over more lost. Now, the Pistons got away with that last night because they only allowed the Cavs to score 10 points off of those turnovers. So in that series specifically, I come back to, can they count on James Harden to continue to handle the ball as much as he does, to distribute it the way they need him to, but yet also be more responsible with it? Because in the games, in the four games that the Cavs have won so far in the playoffs, Nick, I think Harden's only turned it over on average four times in each game.
Chris, if the question is, can you count on James Harden in the playoffs? The answer is no.
I set you up for that one.
Yeah, you couldn't have thrown me a bigger softball as far as what I have seen through the years. I actually agree with you. The first point, though, in that the second round looks different than the first round. And I know that's something that you've hit on. But when you're watching these games, that's why the deeper teams are really starting to show who they are. And Detroit, by all rights, shouldn't be here in this moment, because if Orlando doesn't have an all-time meltdown, that series is over. To their credit, they hung in, and they're rolling now. But to the point about James Harden, when Kobe Altman made that deal, the Cavs GM, I sat there and was like, wait a minute, what? James Harden is the missing piece for a Cavs team that can't find its way in the playoffs? There's just no way. When you're this far down the line in a career, albeit a Hall of Fame career, everybody knows what it is. And with Harden, you cannot count on him to be different than what we've seen to this point. There are moments and times where James Harden is going to have 30, sometimes 40, maybe not at this age, but you're still going to watch and go, whoa, he's really pouring it in. And there are other times he not only, Chris, is the difference now, he would just kind of disappear. Now, defensively, I mean, they're just going at him all the time. So this is a weird series given the way, especially that Detroit series ended against the Magic, and Cleveland never should have gone to seven against that version of the Raptors. But it looks very clear, at least through these first couple games, how much better Detroit appears than this version of the Cavs.
Couple of must wins, I think, tonight in game threes. Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA insider, with us here on You Better You Bet. Chris Mackin for Nick Kostos on Westwood One Sports. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai and the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Learn how it makes every day epic at HyundaiUSA.com. Do you really think it's – I think it's must win for the T-Wolves, and I'll start there because we know it's must win for the Sixers. I think it's must win for the T-Wolves, Nick, because they just looked so – uninterested, for lack of a better way to put it, in game two. They look like a team that believed since they won game one, they had a right to just be handed game two. I don't know if it's an exhale from winning game one, if it's an exhale from having Edwards back, or what it is, but I have to believe that in order to make this a series against the Spurs, they've got to bounce back in a major way, and they have an opportunity to do it tonight at home.
I agree completely. If you're Minnesota and you got game one, it felt like, all right, well, let's just get on the plane. we're good here. Let's just go back home. Chris, what scares me, though, for Minnesota is when you watch Ant Edwards, he's just, because of the injuries, he's just not at that same level. And what I would want to see, especially early in this game, is how is he looking and how does he feel? Because if he's not at that same Ant Edwards level, I don't care if they're playing at home. They don't have enough firepower to get to where they want to go without him in that role. So I'm with you. I think this is really important for them because San Antonio, after falling flat in game one, just rolled in game two. They have Wemby. They have a bunch of young guys who are finding their footing more as each game goes by. And if they go win game three in Minnesota, you know they're going to try to deliver that knockout punch in game four. So it makes a ton of sense. I still think San Antonio comes through in this series. But if Ant Edwards comes in and gets everybody else going in that building early, and then here comes what Gobert can give you, maybe Minnesota can keep pushing and make this a more competitive series than I think.
We know it's must-win, like I said, for the Sixers tonight. We don't know what Knicks team they'll be facing and who they'll be facing them with. Embiid still questionable. OG Anunoby, though, and Josh Hart on the other side, questionable. My contention earlier, Nick, I don't know what you think of this, is I would do everything I can, assuming he can play and be effective, to keep OG in the lineup tonight and see if that gets us up 3-0. And then if we want OG Anunoby to get some rest, we get it on the backside of the series rather than in the middle of the series. Not to say that you're conceding a game by allowing OG Anunoby to get healthy, but, you know, I'd much rather be up 3-0 and get the rest on the backside of the series than all of a sudden it would feel like lose some of that momentum of winning five in a row and in such dominant fashion. Just how important is Anunoby to what the Knicks are doing?
Chris, he's been their most consistent guy throughout this little stretch that you mentioned. I mean, Jalen Brunson gets the headlines. He's the star. He's the baddest dude going almost in the entirety of the playoffs at this point. But Anunoby is helping them in so many different ways. And we've seen the scoring at times, but he's one of those guys that you need in order to keep winning. I see the point about trying to keep him out there tonight if he's ready to roll. What I would tell you is if you're dealing with what he's dealing with and those hamstring injuries and all that, yeah, that is something to be very cautious about, because if he makes the wrong move and he's not feeling pretty solid moving forward, then you're really going to screw yourself up for the next couple weeks. So we'll see who's out there. The fact that Philly may not have Embiid again. I mean, I came into this series thinking Philly could absolutely win, and they had an advantage matchup-wise. And then Embiid can hardly move in game one, doesn't play in game two, and now we're sitting here a few hours before game three like, is he going to be out there? I mean, this is why nobody ever really believes in Philly. This is the case study, and hey, they got all these pieces. Yeah, but you never know who's going to be there. So right. I think this is 100% the game for them. If they don't get this one, you can just you can fold out the rest of this series. That is a wrap, and we'll be seeing the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, it's got to just be incredibly frustrating for a Sixers fan to get teased with those few games of Embiid too, and see what's possible when Embiid, Maxey, and George are all on and Edgecombe's contributing and everything's going right. And then all of a sudden Embiid's out and it feels like the house of cards completely tumbles again.
Hey Chris, what I would say to the Sixers in general is this is why you have to move on. I don't care what it takes, and the value is never going to be what you want it to be in any kind of deal. But to sit there and keep going through that, this is not sustainable. It hasn't been. I mean, even in that year when he won the MVP, it just looked like he was completely running out of gas when you needed him the most. The longer you kind of stay in this place, the longer that you're just like, I don't think this is ever going to happen. So if Embiid really can't get back on the floor, or if he does, let's say tonight, and he's just not moving around really well and he's not making an impact, I think there's a much bigger conversation to be had for that Philly front office going into the summer, because there's absolutely nothing that would lead you to believe that Embiid can be the guy you need him to be consistently in the playoffs night to night. He was awesome in those moments in Boston. He's a huge reason, the reason they won in Game 7. But I would not trust at all that he can be the focus of what you need him to be to actually think that you can compete for a title anymore.
Speaking of big men who maybe should move on from their teams in the Eastern Conference, the Giannis Antetokounmpo thing is already being kicked up. We've got the draft lottery this weekend as well. Not to roll too much up into one big ball of wax, but you've also got Jaylen Brown making some comments early this week about how it was one of the best seasons of his life because he got to be the man. I'm paraphrasing, but is there, look, you run it through the trade simulator online and it tells you there's no way to make it happen because of the apron and the cap and all that. Does it make any sense at all to consider a Jaylen Brown for Giannis Antetokounmpo at the heart of a deal? And I guess on the back end of that, how does the lottery affect all of what we may see happen in this offseason?
Chris, what I would say about the Boston-Milwaukee part, that would be really, really surprising. I mean, it's fun for us to talk about, and certainly in league circles and for fans, everybody's looking around going, would it work? Is this something that could be possible? I think for all the reasons you laid out, on top of the fact that I think you can chalk up what Jaylen Brown said, at least in part, to frustration. I mean, they lost. They lost in the way in which they lost. But those were some eye-raising, like, what the hell is he talking about? Like, why? Yeah. So I don't think it's completely out of the realm. I would be very surprised. To the point about the lottery and how everything else shakes out, that is huge. And that is, however, the ping pong balls and the numbers shake out on Sunday, that will determine a hell of a lot of what we see over the next couple months. And I'll give you an example because it's a question that I've gotten asked repeatedly here in the last few days. What happens if a team like the Warriors bounces all the way up to one or two or gets in that top four? Do they then take that pick and say, all right, this is going to be another guy that we believe we can pair with Steph moving forward for another couple of years? Or do they take the third pick and go, hey, Giannis, Milwaukee, what's up? That's a guy that they have been having conversations about forever, seemingly. And does it make more of a sweetener to make that kind of deal happen if you get the lottery luck you need? So those are all questions that will be answered here in Chicago in the next few days. But the lottery standings and where everybody lands are just gigantic, not only because of the talent involved throughout that draft, but because of all the different trade ramifications and possibilities that surround it, with Giannis at the top of that list.
Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai and the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Thanks again for your time this morning, Nick. We'll catch up again soon, my man. Enjoy the playoffs.
Always, buddy. Talk to you.
Absolutely. Really interesting how, I think this is a tendency of NBA fans, especially, where we take two and we take another two and we try to add them up into five. Like, ooh, Giannis, Celtics need a big man. Jaylen Brown, maybe not totally happy. Can we make it happen? Like I said, you can run it through any trade simulator you find online. It's going to be like flashing red lights and your computer starts to smoke and it goes, can't happen. Sorry. Now, are there exceptions and allowances that maybe allow that to happen? Sure. But that seems like a bit of an uphill climb. And I don't think the Celtics want to make that big of a move. As for how the lottery this weekend affects what happens with Giannis, you just heard Nick lay it out there. The Warriors are a big part of this too. But then, what do the Warriors look like if it's a Golden State Warriors team without Steve Kerr? If he's not back, does that cause that house of cards to tumble? I am very curious to see if Joel Embiid is back tonight. Is that enough? Can you get Embiid that you got in games 6 and 7 in the first round? 5, 6, and 7, really. If that Embiid comes back, okay. That's a Sixers win, especially if Ananobi's out and Hart. That's a Sixers win, and we got a series. But if there's no Embiid, or Embiid looks less than 100%, doesn't look like that guy that he looked at the end of the Celtics series, this thing's over. It's done. Coming up, we laughed, we cried, we learned some things. Three stars of the day, our three favorite moments of the show. Next, right here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Patrick Mahomes, ACL tear late last year. No playoffs in KC for the first time in 12 seasons. But now, Andy Reid says the three-time Super Bowl MVP is on track for OTAs. Could Mahomes really be 100% by week one? Westwood One Sports.
The world is huge, like 197 million square miles huge, but it's also smaller than you think. With unlimited 2% cash back, the Cash Rewards Plus Visa card from Navy Federal brings our members closer to the game they love, rewarding fans of FIFA World Cup 26 every step of the way, thanks to Visa. From new jerseys and gear to game day tickets and nonstop cheer, with Visa and Navy Federal by your side, the world is at your fingertips. Terms apply for credit card rewards. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash for more information. Visa, worldwide partner of FIFA World Cup 26.
Spring is showing up and showing out. Give your yard its own moment with limited time deals from Lowe's. Grab select 1.5 gallon annuals hanging baskets, two for only $15. Plus, we've got Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil, five bags for just $10. A little dirt, a little color, and we are so back. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid 5/7 through 5/13. Selection varies by location. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This deer season, John Deere wants to give you the home field advantage. We're bringing you the best offers of the season, whether that's cash off on select new machines or a shot at the ultimate Major League Baseball prize package. Because right now, you can enter for a chance to win an MLB All-Star experience for you and three friends, complete with travel and lodging for All-Star Week this July. Deer season is going on now through June 3rd. Visit johndeere.com/deerseason to enter and view the offers and complete contest rules. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.